Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst at friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this division preview is Colin Weatherwax. Colin, how you doing?
Doing great, Justin. How's it going?
Good. Is this the first time you and I have ever podcasted together?
Yeah, I did a short preview of our invitational team, and that was probably about 15 minutes. But other than that, yeah, this is our first full podcast together. First of many.
Yes, yeah. Definitely first of many. Why don't you tell people where you reach on social media? And for those who don't know much about you, maybe give yourself a couple plugs.
Yeah, you can find me at CWeatherwax13. I do write for the baseball side of FWFB. I do a few podcasts with a few different guys with FWFB as well on baseball. And then just finished my rankings for football this upcoming year, and I'll probably be on a few podcasts as well. Just love football, love baseball, love talking about it, even if no one will listen.
And you can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Like I said, I'm one of the co-owners here, and I also write for a number of other sites, including Fantasy Alarm, Fan Graphs, Fan Tracks, and I do some work over at Fantasy Sports Radio as well. Before we get going, want to remind everybody to vote for us for the Podcast Awards. Go to podcastawards.com. Sign up for an account, and you can nominate us in the sports category. And we're teamed up with a couple other podcasts, The Sleeper and The Bust, in The People's Choice. That's one of my other podcasts I do over at FanGraphs. It's a baseball show, so you don't have to go and listen to it or anything. But nominate us in the People's Choice Awards. And then Pop Goes Your World, friends of mine and friends of Fantasy Benefits. Yancey Eaton and Chris McBrien are getting nominated in the entertainment section. They do a pop culture podcast that I've been on. It's fantastic. You should go listen to it and download it if you're into things, especially movies, but also, you know, TV shows, music. They cover a lot of different kind of genres of pop culture, and they definitely deserve a nomination in the Rob has a podcast category, which is the entertainment section. So, Us in Sports, Sleeper in the Bust in People's Choice, Pop Goes Your World in entertainment. All right, that's kind of going to do it for the kind of administrative part of the podcast. I didn't even know what to call it there. The part where I beg you to do things for us. So, and now we're going to move on into the actual interesting part of the podcast, which is our division preview for this episode, the NFC West. And the NFC West is a division that's kind of close to my heart because I live out in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I hate the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, that makes two of us, Justin, so we'll be able to spend about 5 minutes on the 49ers and focus on the actual good teams.
Well, that's the problem. The Niners have, like, interesting players, and we'll get to them. Why don't we start with the Arizona Cardinals, though? We're going to go alphabetical here because that's what makes the most logical sense. Sam Bradford is brought in. They draft Josh Rosen. What are you doing at the quarterback position in Arizona? Are you staying away from it? Are you attacking either of them in maybe a best ball format? What is your thought process?
I think as like a QB2, I don't see Sam Bradford being draftable for me in a standard league. Josh Rosen has to prove himself or wait in the wings until Sam Bradford, you know, steps on a fly and hurts his ankle. So for me in a best ball situation, I'm probably targeting Josh Rosen, but that's probably the only reason I would target any Arizona quarterback would be in a best ball situation, just because there is a chance that once Sam Bradford gets hurt or if he underperforms, they go with Josh Rosen, they stick with him the rest of the year. And there is some upside in that offense, with Larry Fitzgerald, a few other guys, David Johnson and Christian Kirk, they drafted this year. So there's weapons around them, around Bradford and Rosen, but for me, the upside play in a best ball format has to be Rosen.
Yeah, I think you're right. Here's the only place I'm going to disagree with you. In two quarterback leagues, Sam Bradford is an interesting third quarterback. And I see him go very, very late, or really not even go at all, in a number of these two QB leagues, mocks and best balls that I've been in. And I don't get it. This is a guy who has a starting job in the NFL. They went out and got him just because they know Josh Rosen isn't ready. Now, Rosen may have to step in earlier than the Cardinals would like if Bradford can't stay healthy. But Arizona doesn't have an atrocious offensive line, and maybe Bradford can put together a half season worth of work. And if he can do that, he can be very valuable. We've seen him, when he's able to stay on the field, be a super valuable quarterback. So the idea that he is not going in some of these two QB leagues seems a little insane to me.
Yeah, I can see that. But, you know, with how deep this quarterback position is this year, you know, for us, for me and you, Justin, you have him ranked 29th. I have him ranked 31st in our quarterback rankings on FWFB right now. So he's a guy, I think, even in a two QB league where he might not even go drafted. And if he doesn't, I want to see a couple games first before I make a waiver claim or a fab claim on, you know, Sam Bradford, just because I know what he is. I know what I'm going to get from him. If he's healthy, you know, he's decent. But if he's, you know, if he comes on the scene like he did last year, has a great week one, and then we never see him again in the season, I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm right there with you on that. Are you concerned at all about David Johnson? He's going in pretty regularly in the top three picks. Is that where you're taking him? Are you worried about him coming off the injury at all?
I'm a little worried, just because it was supposed to be like a 6 to 8 week injury, and he got injured in week one, and we never saw him again the rest of the season. I have him ranked at number four, so you know the top four guys are pretty much set this year with Gurley, Bell, Elliott, and Johnson. For me, I'm going to lean towards Bell, Gurley, and Elliott just because there isn't that much of an injury concern with those three. David Johnson is a workhorse. He is involved in the passing game just as much as he is in the running game. So if we get a full season of David Johnson, then there's a chance that he's the number one overall player in fantasy. I mean, that's not something that I'm naive to, but I want to be a little bit more safer with my first round pick. I was one of the guys that was burned by him last year, so there is that playing in my mind as well. But I mean, with these top four guys, it's more preference than it is talent, because they're all talented.
Yeah, I we'll get to more of this when we talk about Todd Gurley with the Rams here in a few minutes. But I'm not super concerned about David Johnson. I think that, you know, I actually don't mind the fact that he missed all of last season, because there's going to be less mileage. You know, there was no chance of re-injuring it back on the field quickly. There's, you know, my concern is that once you have an injury like this, you're more likely to have other injuries like this. You know, nothing kind of predicts future injury like past injuries. So I'm a little bit of concern there. I have him as my number three running back behind Gurley and Bell. I think that's a pretty standard spot for him. You know, Elliott, I have some concerns about what that offense looks like as a whole. And I know this isn't the NFC East podcast, but I would not feel comfortable with Ezekiel Elliott as my, you know, number one running back if I'm picking in the top three. It just, the idea that a defense could put 10 men in the box and, you know, have one person just cover the rest of the wideouts, because there's just no talent really in Dallas at the wideout position, concerns me greatly.
Well, I think your Redskins colors are showing just a little bit, Justin. But the one thing, like you said about the injury, him coming off of this injury, it wasn't a major injury. So there is that side of it where, you know, he had a wrist injury. It's not his knee. It's not his foot. It's not anything that helps him run. So he basically just had a year off, a year to recoup, a year to get better. So there is that side of the play. But like I said, these top four running backs this year are pretty much right in line with each other, and it comes down to preference for me.
I completely agree. Do you see anybody besides Larry Fitzgerald that's worth owning out of the wide receivers or even tight ends?
So I'm a big fan of Christian Kirk coming out of Texas A&M this year.
I am too.
I don't know if he's going to break the number two wide receiver slot, because right now there's J.J. Nelson in his way, Bryce Butler, who they signed this offseason as well. But he's a guy in like a deep league, a best ball league, or a dynasty league who I'm definitely going out to target. just because I love the talent. I love the talent of Christian Kirk. But coming into this year in a redraft format, I might take a flyer on a Ricky Seals-Jones, maybe a Bryce Butler in like the last round of my draft. But I think that there's a few more wide receivers around the league that I'm more intrigued in that might have more more opportunity. Just because Larry Fitzgerald is going to get his, David Johnson's going to get his, and I don't know if Sam Bradford can, you know, can sustain more than two people being good around him. Because, I mean, if they go to Rosen, then he might lean more on the tight ends. But if Sam Bradford's there the whole year, then it's going to be hard for him to incorporate anyone else that's going to be fantasy relevant.
Yeah, I'm not interested in really any other tight ends. I am interested in Christian Kirk because I do think he will quickly prove to be the best wide receiver, not named Larry Fitzgerald, on the Cardinals. I'm not a Bryce Butler supporter. J.J. Nelson, I didn't even think he was still there. I should probably have a depth chart in front of me. You know, this is his job to win. I think he will win it. The question becomes what happens if and when Sam Bradford does go down, and really how quickly can Christian Kirk learn to run an NFL route? I think one of the things we don't talk about enough in fantasy is how difficult it is to transition from college to the pros at the wide receiver position. I mean, the routes are so much easier to run in college. The defenses you go up, especially cornerback play, is just so much easier. It can, you know, it's taken Devontae Parker his entire career to figure out how to get off of a press coverage. You know, some guys just don't translate well or don't translate quickly. So as much as I like Christian Kirk as a kind of talent, and I like the situation he's in Arizona where there isn't a ton of competition, there's no guarantee that he is going to be productive at any point this season.
Yeah, there's no guarantee, and there's no rush either. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to rush to put him on the field just because they picked him, you know, high in the draft. They're going to groom him. They're going to let him watch behind Larry Fitzgerald, which is probably the best, one of the best receivers to learn, especially route running, like you said, to learn from. So in this offense, it's literally Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson. And that's it for me as far as a fantasy purpose.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the other concerning parts is that Christian Kirk did the most of his damage out of the slot in college, and he's not going to be playing the slot in Arizona. So that may be a bit concerning as well.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, J.J. Nelson's more of a deep threat. Bryce Butler is a deep threat who can't catch. So, I mean, it's pick and choose after those two guys.
I will say that Chad Williams has been getting some interesting pub in coming, you know, in and out of training camp and stuff like that. So he may be an interesting guy in really deep formats as maybe a last round flyer.
Yeah, he's an interesting wide receiver as well, but in like a best ball format, most likely deeper formats. There's definitely guys that I like a little bit more than him.
Understandable. You have any sleepers or players you want to just yell about?
Well, I mean, we're both on the same bandwagon on Christian Kirk. So in this offense, like we've said, there's not much sleeper appeal. There's not much appeal past the top two guys. At a quarterback, it would be Josh Rosen for sure. But a guy to watch out for, I think, is Elijah Penny or DJ Foster, the backup running backs in Arizona behind David Johnson, just if they want to ease him back into his workload, if they want you know, to incorporate a little bit more of a power back or a goal line presence. I know David Johnson is basically an all-around back. And then, of course, if he gets hurt, I think I like Elijah Penny or DJ Foster to take over the role of David Johnson. You do?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a tank for sure. So I think if he's there at the end of your draft or if he's there in a best ball format, I'd probably be targeting him just in case David Johnson goes down. Then you have, you know, an RB2 or 3 waiting in the wings.
Yeah, I mean, I think Foster may make this roster, but I think he is kind of the last man. I think you're going to see him a lot more on special teams and things like that. You know, they did draft Chase Edmonds in the fourth round, which, you know, could give him a leg up, especially on Foster.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, it's Elijah Penny as far as a sleeper for me. Do you have one in this team right here?
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a pretty underwhelming. Yeah, pretty underwhelming. I mean, I guess, you know, there's part of me that still has a little bit of love for Jermaine Gresham. But I'm not doing that. I mean, unless you're in a format that values a second tight end, there's no reason to even look at Jermaine Gresham.
Or if pancake blocks are a stat category, that's probably somewhere I would target him.
He was so physically gifted early in his career. All right, let's move on and talk about the Rams. I think some people are starting to look at Jared Goff as a number one quarterback. Do you?
He's on the tail end of my number one quarterback, so I have him ranked just outside the top 12. What he did last year was very impressive, mostly to the credit of Sean McVay for, you know, making an offense around him that suited him the best. So I would be perfectly comfortable with him as my quarterback two or as a risky quarterback one if I feel really confident about the team I have around him. But I do see some regression coming from last year. I don't see how he can duplicate exactly what he did last year. Where he was, you know, picked up off the waiver wire in every league, and he was basically started every week just because that offense was so dynamic. So adding Brandon Cooks definitely helps him. However, I don't see him repeating what he did last year.
It's hard because I love Sean McVay. Sean McVay was a fantastic offensive coordinator in Washington. I wish the Redskins had paid him whatever they wanted or fired Gruden so that way they could make Sean McVay their head coach, because he is an offensive mastermind, and I don't think he gets enough credit for what he did last year with Jared Goff, what he did in Washington with Kirk Cousins. And so from that standpoint, I go, I think, you know, Jared Goff could be a number one quarterback, but there's still a lot of problems with Jared Goff. He still makes really, really poor decisions. He still has a hard time progressing through his reads. He can struggle when under pressure. That being said, this entire team is set up to win a Super Bowl this year. That defense looks nasty. It should put him in a lot of positions to score touchdowns because they'll be getting lots of turnovers on the other side of the field. He's got a fantastic running back and running game to work off of. You know, the addition of Brandon Cooks can't hurt at all. Cooper Kupp is just dynamic out of the slot. If Robert Woods can stay healthy, he will be interesting. I'm not even giving up yet on Farrell Cooper. Like, you know, there's a number of guys. Not to mention, like, I really like Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett. Like, this whole team is filled with a ton of talent around him, even if Goff doesn't progress from a natural football standpoint. I think he could easily be a back-end QB1, top-end QB2, and I think there's upside. I have him ranked 15th because I tend to rank based more upon what I see on the field, having played a lot of football and coached some. And I, you know, I see the mistakes, and I see a lot of things that I don't like that Jared Goff still does with his footwork. And so, from that perspective, I have him probably a little bit lower than I should. I should probably move him up above Mahomes and Garoppolo, but I can't yet put him in my top 12. So he's not quite a first rounder for me.
Yeah, the 12 through 15 was definitely difficult for me to rank this year as well. And I feel bad for the Cardinals from going to, you know, two relevant guys, and you just went seven deep on this Rams team. So I think Goff, like you said, Cooks can't hurt because he's basically Sammy Watkins, but he seems to be healthy. And he's had a full offseason to work with Jared Goff as well. So I think incorporating Cooks, still having Robert Woods, and like you said, Cooper Kupp, and some dynamic tight ends as well. This offense is, you know, they have the chance to be right up there with the top teams in the NFL. But the one question I have for you, Justin, do you think that Sean McVay coming in last year, showing what he playing his cards the way he did and being so successful, do you think that defenses this offseason can kind of get a grip on him, kind of see his tendencies, and possibly slow down this offense?
No, because it didn't happen in Washington.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like... I mean, the only thing that slowed down Washington this year was, one, Sean McVay leaving, and two, the offensive line falling apart. I mean, Washington was able to continue to be extremely productive through the passing game, even with a mediocre quarterback talent in Kirk Cousins. I think a lot of people think, because of the numbers Kirk Cousins put up, that makes him a good quarterback. It does not. He is not a good quarterback. I watched him too much for me to ever think that he's a good quarterback. And he's going to another really nice situation that is going to, anger me even more about this. But, I think McVay is very inventive. I think he thinks outside the box. I think he's willing to... use his strengths in the best possible way and hide his weaknesses very, very well. And so I don't think, even if, there may be games in which they get stifled a little bit, but I think for the most part, they're going to be just fine. And it's not a great schedule, I will say that. There are some, you've got to think Seattle's defense will rebound a little bit. They've got Minnesota on this schedule. They've got... I'm looking at last year's schedule. Never mind. but I mean, they're going to be playing a number one seed schedule, right? So, I mean, I don't know. I can't off the top of my head think of what divisions they're playing. But they're gonna face some tough games. They're lucky to be in the NFC West, I believe, with a division that isn't in really great shape. I think Seattle is a mediocre team, but though I do think their defense will step up a little bit. Arizona, I don't know what to make of Arizona as a team. It really does seem like an 8-8 team, which they were last year. San Francisco should be better offensively next year, but I don't know how much better they're going to be defensively. So I think the Rams are in a fine position.
Yeah, and to piggyback on the schedule, they play the AFC West. They also play the NFC North, which is Green Bay, Minnesota, like you said. They also have Philadelphia on their schedule. But the biggest hurdle for them is going to be Week 1. They play in Oakland. So that's going to be the hardest team on their schedule. So, but I think Sean McVay, I think I definitely believe in what he did last year. But having Todd Gurley as their number one running back definitely helps them for sure.
I mean, playing the, you said the AFC West and the NFC North?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not obviously as a big Oakland homer as you are, but I think Oakland has a pretty interesting defense. Kansas City has a good defense. I think the Chargers have a great defense. The Broncos still have a pretty good defense. That's not a division you want to go up against when you're looking for offensive production.
Right. So that's one of the things that I think kind of helps our ranking of Jared Goff, just because he's playing that number one seed schedule, and he's going to have a lot tougher time to duplicate what he did last year.
All right. Speaking of number ones, though, Todd Gurley, your number one player overall?
No, he is not. He is actually my third-ranked running back.
What?
I have Bell and Elliott ahead of him, so... I just like Bell's, he's done it year in and year out. Gurley had, he burst onto the scene as a rookie. Sean McVay came in and turned him around completely. And I still think he's going to be good, but I am a little nervous about, one, the schedule, which we just touched on, and two, defenses kind of figuring out how to scheme around Jared Goff and focus more of their attention on Todd Gurley. So I think a lot of fantasy players are going to be chasing what Gurley produced last year. And, I mean, it's going to be a few pick difference as far as, where he was taken last year. I think he was taken towards the end of the first or beginning of the second. So you're talking about your first overall player, your third overall player, and that's a big difference for me. And I want to lean towards a guy that's done it before in Le'Veon Bell and in Zeke Elliott whenever he's healthy and on the field.
Yeah, I like, I'm not going to push back too hard, obviously, because like we've said earlier on in this episode, the difference between a, you know, the top three or four guys is can be semantics. Here's what I will say. This one is Gurley is the only person out of these four guys that doesn't have some sort of question mark coming into the season. He's on a high-powered offense. He was fantastic last year. He was slept on coming into drafts last year. It was insane how many shares of Todd Gurley I got. And I you know, kind of laughed it all the way to the bank because I won multiple championships on the back of Todd Gurley. Le'Veon Bell is there's rumors that he could hold out. Ezekiel Elliott is a you know, a risk to have loaded boxes because there is no other offense on that team other than him. David Johnson coming off of injury and playing on the Cardinals, where he could face a lot of loaded boxes. If people want to see that, if Sam Bradford can actually throw the ball without getting hurt, or if Josh Rosen comes in. These other guys have question marks. There are no question marks with Todd Gurley. I am absolutely shocked right now that I am looking at the Friends of Fantasy Benefits football staff ranks, and I'm the only person that has him ranked first out of the running backs. Only person.
What does that say about you, Justin? We're all right and you're wrong?
No, I mean, it says I need to fire some people and hire some new ones.
Just as long as they think like you, right?
Yeah, exactly. I only want yes men at this company.
Yeah, I mean, for Gurley, like you said, like we said about the top four, it's basically personal preference. And for you, it's Gurley. For others, it might be Bell or Elliott. But with this offense, they're going to get him the ball. So there's no doubt about that. He's going to get his touches. There's no worry about Brandon Cooks coming in and getting way more touches than Gurley or taking away from Gurley's touches. They incorporate him so well in the passing game and the running game and screens and, you know, deep seam routes. I mean, everything. Sean McVay is going to get his best players the ball, and that's just the end of it. So going in the top four, it's no question. I do think that he'll have a little bit less of a productive year than he did have last year, but he's going to be right up there as a top four running back this year.
All right. With so many people, with the Rams really going to be feeding Gurley quite a bit, the additions of Brandon Cooks to this team add just another weapon, which is great for Jared Goff. It's probably great for Gurley because it becomes harder and harder for teams to stack the box against Gurley. Is there going to be enough to go around to feed all these mouths in this offense? What are you doing with Brandon Cooks or Robert Woods?
So I'm actually pretty high on Brandon Cooks. I have him ranked as my wide receiver 15. I see you have him ranked as number 23. So there is a pretty big discrepancy between both of us. I love the talent. I love what he's shown, you know, in his 3 or 4 years in the league with Drew Brees and Tom Brady. I know it's a big, you know, step down going down to Jared Goff between those two guys, but I think with a full offseason, with Sean McVay figuring out what he does best, I can't see a reason why he would struggle, and I'm comfortable with him being my wide receiver 2 coming into this year.
I'm comfortable with him being my wide receiver 2, and I probably will move him up. You said I have him at number 23. Yeah, I'm going to move him up.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to move him up very far. Like, I can't imagine with the amount of mouths to feed in this offense, with them still running most things through Gurley, that Cook, and, you know, with a drop off from a talent like Tom Brady and Drew Brees to Goff, unless I see like some really big steps in preseason from a mechanical standpoint on Goff and intelligence standpoint on Goff, I can't move Cooks up. I love the talent. I love what I've seen him do over the course of his last few seasons in New England and in New Orleans. But I can't push him up into the top kind of echelon of wide receiver twos. Or I mean, I've heard some people say that he should be a wide receiver 1, and I just can't do that.
No, yeah, I can't get behind the wide receiver one bandwagon, but is the reason that there's too many mouths to feed the reason why you have Robert Woods ranked 45th and Cooper Kupp ranked 44th as well, just because there's so many dynamic players in this offense, you don't know what to get from a Woods and a Kupp?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just too many mouths to feed for an offense that is going to really be all about Todd Gurley. I mean, like, and which one of those two is going to be the one to bank on? You know, it may be a situation in which, you know, we saw last year, especially with Kupp, like, you know, one week he was amazing, and the next week he did absolutely nothing. Like that, like. People need to stop looking at like point totals in fantasy and be like, well, this guy scored, you know, these amount of points or had these amount of yards and these amount of catches. If they come in bunches, you know, great, you killed it in week three, but in week four your team lost because of this.
Yeah, the only reason where that matters is in best ball format where you don't have to worry about it. Sure. But I have Robert Woods is ranked number 29 for me, Cooper Kupp at 37. So there's a pretty big discrepancy between the secondary pieces who would probably be, you know, wide receiver ones on most offenses. So I think I'd still think that the Rams are going to be very dynamic as an offense. I think that it is going to be hard to pick and choose, you know, the spots where Woods and Kupp are going to succeed this season. But as far as a best ball standpoint, they're still guys that I'm definitely targeting as like my back end wide receiver three or four.
Okay. Anybody else in the off? I mean, I like both these tight ends, but them both being there kind of hurts each other. So I think they're both physically gifted players, but I don't know how you distinguish which one's going to be the better fantasy player.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I was on Higbee last year, and Everett kind of showed up a little bit, and there was just so many mouths to feed then, and now there's even more. So I think it's just kind of you're not going to be able to pick and choose. It's going to be, you know, you can definitely take one of the two in a best ball or a deep league where you don't have to worry about, you know, when you have to start them, because there's going to be weeks where they're going to have two touchdowns. There's going to be weeks where they have 100 yards, and there's going to be weeks where they don't even see the field. So yep. That's the issue with the tight end position in this offense, but they're definitely talented players and they could, you know, burst onto the scene and become more of a focal point. But right now, looking at their roster, it's hard to find, you know, some catches and some production from them.
Completely agree. All right, let's talk about the defense a little bit. A lot of additions. Ndamukong Suh, Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, are they a top five defense to you?
Definitely. I mean, this team, I was on them last year as far as being one of the most owned defenses in my leagues. Right now I have them ranked as my number two overall defense. So they're right behind the Jacksonville Jaguars for me, and I love this defense. I mean, I loved it last year, and now you're telling me they're going to add Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, Ndamukong Suh, still have Aaron Donald, Michael Brockers, Mark Barron. I mean, I can just keep going on and on. I mean, this defense is stacked. They're going to create turnovers. They're going to get a lot of sacks, and they're going to be a top five defense, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I have them ranked third behind Minnesota and Jacksonville. I could have easily flipped, flipped them with Minnesota. So it's going to be fun to watch. This is going to be, and my only issue, you know, fantasy wise with this is, do you think there's a chance that the defense is so good we don't see the shootouts? Like, could this actually really hurt guys like Goff and Woods and Cooks because they're not needing to throw down the stretch?
I mean, there's a chance, so you have to keep that in mind whenever you're drafting the skill positions. But as far as Todd Gurley, he's going to get his.
Yeah, Gurley's going to get his. And
yeah, he's going to get his.
If their defense is good, it means, you know, part of it is he's keeping the defense off the field and keeping them fresh and running out the clock and stuff. So I'm not worried about Gurley at all, but there is a bit of a concern that this defense is so good that it could keep their, you know, offense from flying high in terms of the passing game.
Yeah, that might be a deciding factor for me if I'm torn between taking a Goff or another quarterback I have in that range, like a Derek Carr or someone like that. You know, if I'm concerned that this defense is just going to be too good. But, I mean, we saw last year Jacksonville got into some shootouts as well. So those were against, you know, top-tier teams. So there is a chance that top-tier defenses get tested and they still have to, you know, keep up with the other teams. So I think only if I have a guy that's really close to him that has a worse defense or has a better situation, then I might flip-flop. But, you know, as far as the skill positions, it's pretty much set as far as where I'm going to take them this year.
I don't know. Do you play much IDP?
I do. I played a couple leagues last year and then the year before. I'm not a huge fan of it, but it's something that I definitely keep on the back burner for sure.
This, to me, like, screams a year in which Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib may be really, really interesting in IDP leagues, because you give them a defensive lineman like Aaron Donald who disrupts so much in the back. If Sue can be anything, if Brockers can be what he was last year, like, there are going to be lots of like balls just thrown up out of nowhere for them to get pick sixes, to get interceptions. These are two guys that I'm definitely looking for in my IDP leagues to grab, you know, in the last few rounds. Because, you know, one, don't ever draft, like, IDP guys, like, early. Like, I think a lot of people, IDP is, it's fun to play. I enjoy it more than having team defenses or kickers, for that matter. Unless they're guys that play on offense, you know, the old Mike Vrabels and things like that, you don't draft IDP guys early. That's a sucker's bet.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely later on in the draft, I know corners kind of go either undrafted or late, mm-hmm. for sure, just because, you know, if they get burned or they don't really make enough plays, then they're basically irrelevant. So they're definitely guys that I'm going to target for sure.
And I think my buddy Scott Bogman, who does stuff for Fantrax and has his own site in this league, he's a friend of this podcast as well as the baseball podcast. He's doing an IDP podcast over at Fantrax this year. So if you're an IDP player, go listen to that, because he's a really good dude and knows his shit for sure. All right, let's talk San Francisco. This is going to be an interesting conversation. Where do you have Jimmy Garoppolo?
I have him right inside the top 10. I believe I have him 9th.
Wow.
Yeah, I love me some Jimmy G.
I like him a lot. I'm not ready to say I love him.
Why?
The offensive talent around him is very minimal. Like, okay. I'm a big Pierre Garçon fan, but he's not a guy that lights up the world. I think there's going to be some regression from Marquise Goodwin, and then that's it. Like, George Kittle is not a good tight end. Like, people need to stop talking about George Kittle. you know, he may have some productive games and stuff, but like, George Kittle is not a physically talented guy. I don't know what this offense is going to look like this year. I think they are still compiling some offensive talent, and I just don't think there's much around Jimmy G. That being said, he obviously has some talent, but I just don't see him being a top 10 quarterback this year. I don't know. I can't remember where. I think I ranked him like 13th or 14th, but he'll probably be coming down as other guys start coming up.
Yeah, you have him ahead of Jared Goff, so there is
that. Yeah, that's going to change, though. They will probably flip-flop.
Okay, so, yeah, just about 15th. Yeah, for me, I have him right inside the top 10. I'm fully comfortable drafting him as my, you know, quarterback one. I like the pieces around him. I like Garçon. He's going to definitely help him out. He didn't have the chance to play with him last year because of injury, but I think he's going to, as a possession receiver and a great route runner, he's going to help him out. Marquise Goodwin, very fast. Came on late last year, and then the additions of Jerick McKinnon is only going to help him. I see him coming from that Patriots tree of give me what you got and I'll make you better. And so, you know, coming onto the scene last year, he, you know, whenever he got traded to the 49ers, he lit up the world. And so I just think with another year of Kyle Shanahan, a full year of Kyle Shanahan, basically grooming him into the quarterback that he wants him to be, adding Jerick McKinnon, having decent weapons on the outside, and incorporating a little bit of the tight end game as well, there's a chance that he can be, you know, a back end quarterback two, or, you know, probably, I would probably say around ranked 15 come the end of the year, but I don't see any way that he's outside of, you know, the top 15 quarterback this year.
Yeah, I'm not willing to bank on it. I'm just not gonna. Let's talk about Jerick McKinnon, because you did mention him as a plus, and he will help out, I think, quite a bit in the passing game for Garoppolo. But people are taking him really high in drafts right now. Where are you at on McKinnon? Because I don't see this RB1 that a lot of other people do.
Yeah, I see you have him ranked 21st. I have him ranked 15th, so I'm a little bit ahead of you on that curve. But a little quiz question for you, Justin. How many 100-yard games did he have last year?
How many 100-yard games did he have last year? Zero.
Yep.
Total between rushing and receiving?
Yeah, he had one receiving, and then that's it. He had a 95-yard game in the fifth week. So there is a little bit to be concerned about based on
be concerned about.
He never had more than 16 carries in a game. They have Matt Breida, who is pretty similar in what they can do. So I think there's going to be a lot of, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman type thing with Kyle Shanahan, just kind of incorporating both of those guys. And then can he hold up for a whole season? That's the big question.
No.
Because
he's too tiny. He's not a good running back. Like, he's a great pass catcher. He is dynamic in the open field. I am sure Shanahan will utilize that to the best of his abilities. And so I think there will be production, and that's why I have him in my top, 21, 22, 23 running backs. But like this idea that this guy is going to be some sort of workhorse, is not going to happen. And I don't want to pay the huge price right now we have to pay to get Jerick McKinnon. Like, this is not a good running back. I mean, it just, like, people need to stop with this.
Yeah,
he couldn't get the starting role in Minnesota. The great offensive line, in no competition before Dalvin Cook showed up. And then Dalvin Cook got hurt, and he still couldn't be the main guy.
Yeah, I mean, there is that to say. And then looking back at his stat sheet, the 95-yard game, he had a 58-yard run in that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of masked a little bit. So I believe in the offense.
Like, he can bust off those big gains, but like so can lots of guys. There are a lot of guys in the NFL that, they find open field and they completely bust off. I mean, Tariq Cohen, he's explosive, but he's not going to do it on every play, and people aren't giving him 20 touches a game. Like, I don't think 20 touches a game for a guy like McKinnon is going to end well.
Yeah, I think his ADP right now is a little bit inflated. I'd love to see it come down whenever we get closer to the end or to the start
of
the year.
It won't. All it's going to take is one huge run in preseason, and people are going to start shitting themselves.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's going at the beginning of the third round, so
that's
I might have to adjust his ranking a little bit. On a positive note, I do think they're going to incorporate him a lot in this offense. Like we said, on the outside, there's not too much talent there. So they're going to get him the screen. They're going to give him, every chance to be that workhorse, quote unquote, running back.
Gets a bump in PPR.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I know that is a pretty popular format. I guess he would get a little bump in best ball because he can be so dynamic in individual weeks. But, I mean, he had what, I think, 4 or 5 weeks last year with double-digit scoring in PPR. Like, that's not what you want as out of your number one running back, and that's what you're doing when you take him in the third round.
Yeah, you're banking on some progression, some positive progression, some, a lot more catches and carries and touches than he had last year. So I think I might have to move him down just a little bit based off of what your argument is, although it just sounds like you're a hater to me. But
it's nothing to do with, he's going to a worse offensive line, a team that isn't going to run the ball as much as Minnesota did. And, that doesn't, affect him as greatly as maybe other running backs because he's going to catch the ball out of the backfield. But we don't know that Garoppolo is going to want to check down to a running back that often. I think the only thing that really plays in his favor is the lack of offensive talent on this team that they may have to dump out to him quite a bit.
Yeah, I can see that. So definitely in a PPR, he's someone that I'm targeting. But if he's going that early, I might not be able to own him on very many teams.
Yep. All right. I do want to mention before we move away from the running backs, Joe Williams looks really good in camp.
Okay, so a sleeper type pick.
Mm-hmm. Like this is, yeah, last pick in a best ball or deeper formats. Joe Williams was a sleeper for a lot of people last year, was never able to get on the field because he was because of injuries. And he is a different running back than McKinnon and Breida, as like he could be a every down workhorse between the tackles type guy.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good name. I remember hearing about him in the preseason and then he got hurt. So yeah, that's definitely a good name to keep an eye on, especially if this, offense is as dynamic as we think it might be.
Yep. All right. Pass catchers, Kittle, Garcon, Goodwin, anybody else you're targeting out of those guys?
I mean, twist my arm. I'll probably have to go with Goodwin just because he's the upside play. Garcon is boring, which I'm sure you know.
But like in PPR, like he's the guy, dude. I mean, like he's going to get like 6-7 catches every game. Like, and that just continuously bumps up your scoring. And then if he gets, like, he didn't get into the end zone last year, and he was still productive until he got hurt.
Yeah, and until he got hurt. So hopefully he bounces back. And Goodwin kind of burst on the scene a little bit last year as a speed threat. I played against him in high school, so I can tell you firsthand, he's as fast as he looks. So
I played against Vernon Davis.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit older than you.
Yeah, just a little bit. yeah, I think they'll find ways to incorporate him in the offense as well with screens, with quick slants, because he has breakaway speed. And Garcon, he's going to be there on third down for Garoppolo. So like you said, in a PPR sense, I can definitely see, you know, him being very productive, although I'm probably not going to target him unless he just completely falls and no one remembers how good he has been. So Goodwin for me. It sounds like Garcon for you, though.
I like Goodwin, but and he's a really good story, but I don't know. I'm gonna go look up their ADPs real quick and see what I see. So Pierre Garcon is going 73rd according to ESPN, which was the easiest site for me to bark up. But Goodwin's going 106, so maybe I'll take the
a little
discount.
Bit more value. Yeah,
yeah, I'll take the discount and the added upside, especially that at that point in a draft. Though, I mean, there's still guys that are going behind both of them that I like. Nelson Aguilar is going behind both of them. Calvin Ridley, if you're looking for upside, going behind both of them. Rishard Matthews, a guy I really like this year, Kenny Golladay, going behind, way behind both of them, 133rd. So Cameron Meredith, if you want to buy into that again, because I know people like to fall for that one over and over and over again, so. I don't know that either of these guys are very good values where they're going.
Yeah, I could see their ADP kind of falling a little bit, especially Goodwin. You know, if he has a few blunders in the preseason or something like that, you can definitely get him, you know, a little bit later at a cheaper discount. And that's kind of why I want to jump on him, because he's going to be not as expensive as Garcon.
All right. Do you think they can compete for a division?
I do. Wow. I do think Jimmy G can kind of carry them, and it's going to be hard for them to supplant the Rams.
Realize they were the worst team in the division last year, right?
Yeah, they were the worst team pre Jimmy G. So once he came over, I mean, that team just kind of took on a new identity, and I think they're going to build off of that. I think another year with Kyle Shanahan as their head coach is only going to help them. And I know this is more of a real football question, but just instead of a fantasy, but I do think they're going to be either second, or they might even compete with the Rams for the top overall in that division.
Yeah, I don't think they're close to being in the Rams league, personally. But I do think they could finish second in this division, and I think finishing second in this division may mean that they're in competition for a wild card spot.
Yeah, I mean, with the Cardinals and then the Seahawks issues, they have a definite chance of being right there at number two.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks next. Is Russell Wilson the number two quarterback this year?
I mean, I have him third just because I like Rodgers and Brady a little bit more. But how can you not expect him to basically carry the load on this offense? I mean, he's done it for the past couple of years. He lost, Paul Richardson this offseason and Jimmy Graham, so there is a little bit less around him. But as far as a top three quarterback, yes, it's going to be a tight competition between him, Rodgers, and Brady. But I'm going to stick with the guys that I know are going to get me, consistent weeks for sure, because Russell Wilson has been a little bit up and down a couple, the past couple of years, especially 2 years ago. But I mean, last year he was a stud. So as long as Tyler Lockett can kind of, improve as a receiver, they don't really have a running game unless someone comes out of the woodworks like Penny or Carson. So he's going to have to carry this team.
Yeah, I think he's my, I believe he's my number two guy, if I'm remembering my ranks right.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with people who want to put Brady second. I do, and I guess I don't have a problem with people who want to put Deshaun Watson second either. I think that is a bit risky, to put a guy like Watson or Cam Newton second. Over Brady and Wilson, but I think that there is an argument for it, I guess. For me, I think Wilson showed so much upside last year that even if he takes a little bit of a step back this year, he's still going to be a very, very productive top-tier quarterback. So I prefer Wilson second. I'm not probably going to have any shares of him this year because I only think I've got maybe one other two quarterback league that I'm drafting in at some point this year, and that's the only point I'm going to take a quarterback that early. So I like Wilson a lot. I think he's going to be fine, even with a loss offense, a loss of the offensive weapons around him. He always seems to find a way. I'm not worried about him from a fantasy standpoint. Still, I don't like drafting quarterbacks high.
Yeah, he's definitely locked in as a top three quarterback for both of us. There's not much argument between
Yeah.
that.
What are you doing with the running backs here? I mean, you have Rashard Penny, you've got Chris Carson, J.D. McKissic is still around there, C.J. Prosise is still around there. Is any of these guys going to be able to kind of step up and take the full load?
I think they're expecting Penny to do so. However, right now his ADP is so inflated. He's being drafted as pick number 52, so that's right there in the
Oh,
fifth
wow.
round.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't do that.
Yeah, I can't do that either. So the guy that I'm looking at is Chris Carson. He's being drafted about pick number 140, so right towards the middle to the end of your draft, and a guy who showed flashes last year, even with a piss poor offensive line. He showed flashes before he got injured. Mike Davis is still there as well, who kind of came on towards the end of the season. J.D. McKissic is basically a receiver, and so is Procise. So it's basically Penny or Carson for me because I think they're more of the upside play. And right now, I'm going to take the discount in Carson just because I'm not going to pay a fourth or fifth round pick for a rookie on this offense.
Yeah, I do think the offensive line is going to be better this year. I think Dwayne Brown with a full off season to prepare after being traded mid-year last year from Houston will be an improvement. DJ Fluker was signed in the off season; he should be an improvement. So I think the offensive line will be better than the atrociousness we've seen in the past. That being said, I completely agree with you. I'm not paying that amount for Rashad Penny. And Chris Carson does seem like a fairly decent deal at this point, so why not roll the dice and see, if he can become a vital part of this offense.
Yeah, because he was drafted pretty high last year or the year before as well. I mean, they're not
Yeah,
going
he
to
was
give
a
up on
seventh
him.
rounder.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, he showed flashes last year, so they're definitely not going to give up on, what he showed him
And
last year.
they were willing to get rid of guys like Thomas Rawls, who'd been super productive in the past, to give Chris Carson the ball. So I mean, that tells me something about what Pete Carroll and that organization feels about Chris Carson.
Yeah, so I don't think it's going to be Penny's job just right off the bat. There's going to be some competition there. And so I'm going to take the discount in Chris Carson.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if neither of these guys kind of stand out from the other one, pretty much all season.
Yeah,
Like,
for sure.
this could be a timeshare situation all year. Doug Baldwin, I think, is easily a wide receiver one.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, how can you say otherwise? You know, there was a lot of talk coming into last year that he just had a crazy year in 2016 and wasn't sustainable. But he did the opposite. He sustained it. I mean, not as far as touchdown production, but as far as just production alone, he was killing it. I mean, I have him ranked in as my number 9 overall receiver, and I see him falling in drafts right now. He's being drafted as the number 11 receiver off the board. So, you know, if I can get that discount on Doug Baldwin, I'm going to take him every day.
Sure. I'm right there with you. Any other wide receivers interesting to you? Brandon Marshall is in this offense. Tyler Lockett's in this offense. I've never been a Tyler Lockett apologist. I continue to not be. But at least this year, there's no price attached to having to draft him.
Yeah, I do like Tyler Lockett a little bit. They also signed Jerron Brown from Arizona, so he has a little bit of upside. I have no faith in Brandon Marshall. No faith at all. So I think out of the other wide receiver weapons and possibly even the tight end position and Nick Vinette and Ed Dixon, I think I'm going to target, you know, Lockett, possibly Jerron Brown, and if I have to as a tight end, I might target Nick Vinette.
Okay. I'm just going to throw out a name that's on, like, my deep sleeper list. Third-round pick from 2017, Amar Dabor. I always pronounce his name wrong. I think this kid has talent, and I know he seems buried in the depth chart right now, but there's no guarantee that Brandon Marshall actually makes this team. He's coming off of off-season surgery. He supposedly is not doing a ton right now, and there is a chance that he is cut before the start of the season. Not much money attached to him at all, I believe. I don't believe there's any guaranteed money. So he could easily be cut. Darbor is a guy who can go up and get the ball, has strong hands. You know, he's 6'2", 215. He's still young. Last year was his first year in the league. They did invest a third-round pick in him just last year. So, I mean, this is a guy that the organization obviously believed in when they drafted him. I'm kind of keeping an eye on him. He's not even like a last round pick kind of dude, unless you're in a really deep format. He's more of a keep on your watch list. And you know, if you're looking for something to watch at the, you know, second half of a preseason game, this is a guy to kind of keep an eye out for.
Yeah, I actually hadn't heard of him until you had just brought him up. But being drafted in the third round by Pete Carroll, I mean, that has to be said for something. He went to Michigan. This is going to be his second year. And like you said, he has a lot of size. So definitely someone I'll be keeping an eye on. Probably not draftable.
Definitely not draftable. But like Tyler Lockett is Tyler Lockett. He's a dynamic player. But, he could end up just being another Cordell Patterson.
I don't think he'll be that bad. He actually can run a route.
But that's the thing. Like, Cordell Patterson, every once in a while, would do something crazy. And you'd be like, Tavon Austin's another great example. You know, I mean, guys with superior physical gifts that just can't figure out how to, produce at the NFL level.
So, Justin, you want to make a bet on Darbo and Lockett?
No, hell no.
That's what it sounded like.
No. I mean, I'm not in the business of losing bets.
Yes, you are. We know that about your baseball bets.
we'll definitely, you and I will get together for some more podcasts this year, and we'll definitely make some football bets.
That sounds good.
You should have let me jump on the AFC West podcast with you guys.
Oh, no. You would have just dogged the Raiders the whole time. We can't allow that.
I hope the Raiders are good. I want to see the Raiders be good. last year in Oakland, you know, I want to see them be successful.
Yeah, that makes a lot of us.
All right, well, that's going to wrap us up. Remind people where you reached on social media, and then plug all your work.
You can find me at CWeatherWax13. Like I said in the beginning of the podcast, I will be podcasting for the rest of the baseball season on FWFB. You'll also find me doing some previews for the football podcast. And you can find our ranks on FWFB as well. Possibly doing some more writing. I've been a little busy with my day job, unfortunately, to sit down and do some more articles. Yeah, no day jobs, boo. But I got to pay the bills somehow. Your 10 cent a week salary isn't really helping out, Justin.
Oh, that's a higher salary than most people get here.
So, yeah, definitely looking forward to this football season and the rest of the fantasy baseball season as well.
You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. You can read all my written work at Friends of Fantasy Benefits, Fangraphs for baseball, Fantasy Alarm for football and baseball. You can also hear me on multiple podcasts for baseball. Friends of Fantasy Benefits is the only place I'm doing football podcasts, but I'm on the radio talking football and baseball on Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And yeah, that's going to wrap us up. For Colin and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.